I don't know what sort of parties Cliff went to in the early 60s, but at my birthday parties, there'd be only girls. The highlight of my party was a trip to the toilet. All the other kids at school had a boring bathroom inside the house. We had no bathroom, and our toilet was right down the bottom of the garden, next to an old corrugated iron air raid shelter. My friends would come in, take off their coats, give me a present, and pick at a fish paste sandwich. Then, after a well-mannered loiter, would start to squeal, "I want to go to the toilet!" My birthday party would be on a cold, dark December afternoon. Going to the toilet meant a complete ritual. Mum would have to help the girls put their coats and Wellingtons back on, and they'd all queue up outside the back door. One by one, she'd take them down to the bottom of the garden with a torch, like an usherette. When she realised what a hit this was, she had the idea to save some fireworks from Guy Fawkes Night. So then we walked down the garden path with a sparkler. Each girl would warily close the toilet door behind her as my mum waited outside. The others, left by the back door, after a dignified delay, would start screaming, "Spider! There's a spider!" and try to make the girl run out before she'd finished. When I was 8, the council offered people in our street a grant to have a new kitchen and bathroom built. Seeing this was the way of the future, my mum and dad and 3 other neighbours went ahead. This meant months of chaos at home, with bricks, cement, pipes and all the rest of a building site going through our house. The builders said it was easier to have one house that everything went through, and since my mum had been the only one to make them a cup of tea, they decided on ours. At home, our meals were breakfast, dinner and tea. If I'd woken from a coma, I'd be able to tell what day it was from what we were having for tea. Monday meant a fry-up, Tuesday, sausages, Wednesday, lamb chops, Thursday, stew with dumplings in winter or steak and kidney pie in summer, and Friday, fish and chips. Saturday meant haddock. Sunday dinner was roast beef with all the trimmings. Unless it was a family birthday, in which case we'd have chicken. Since there was only Mum, Dad and me, this meant we had chicken 3 times a year. Sunday tea time was a salad with tin fruit cocktail and carnation milk for afters. Now, this routine did have its uses. My dad came home one evening covered in blood because he'd driven his Honda 50 down a hole in the road, left irresponsibly by the gas board. Now, although I don't know how old I was, I can pinpoint it as a Thursday in winter because we were having stew. Our house was like a furniture warehouse at the best of times. There was no hallway, so the front door led straight into the front room, which we called the front room. In here was a settee, 2 armchairs and a display cabinet of brass jugs that my mum had won for athletics at school. Books never figured highly in our house. I had a few old books with no pictures in that I used to scribble over, and my parents had the old Hoban book of boxing that my dad had got free with his tobacco wrappers. Shelves weren't for books. They were for ornaments, and we never went short of a china crinoline lady holding an umbrella in our house. My mum used to add her own embellishments. The brown pottery poodle wore a pair of orange plastic glasses from a Christmas cracker, and a baby sham Bambi wore a maroon and white spotted bow tie. Under no account was the front room to be used. The idea was to open the front door and walk through this room as quickly as possible, being careful not to disturb anything. The back room, the same size as the front room, had a wooden sideboard, a dining room table and 4 chairs, a television, a settee and 2 armchairs. Every bit of this room had to be edged around sideways. Now we were having the building work done, all this furniture had to be moved upstairs. The kitchen got demolished and the water tap was then in the middle of a muddy trench. Mum kept saying it was like the Blitz. Mum, Dad and me would put on our nightclothes, get into their big old wooden double bed and watch the big old wooden telly perched on the dressing table. When it came to bedtime, I would get out of this bed, walk across the landing, climb over the kitchen cupboards and get into my own big old wooden double bed. We always had our holidays in the second week of August and the usual guest house in Great Yarmouth had been booked well in advance. As soon as I'd learnt joined-up writing, it had been my job to write the confirmation letter to Mrs. Mills for bed and breakfast. This year, it didn't seem as if the extension was going to be finished before we went away. The builders told us to go, not to worry. Dad wanted his holiday, and Mum thought we couldn't let Mrs. Mills down, so we went. We came home a week later, got off the coach and turned the corner into our road. "Well, at least the house is still there," Mum said. She opened the front door. The front room looked safe. We walked through to the back room. It had been redecorated, with the yellow and orange wallpaper that was all the rage. And the furniture had been put back in exactly the right place. She opened the kitchen door. Blimey. There were brand new bright yellow walls, lino on the floor, and all the familiar cupboards had been repainted white. Through the next door, there was a brand new pink bathroom, white bath, white wash basin, and a white toilet. We stepped up. Mum pressed down the cistern handle, and the three of us stood in awe, staring into the pan as the water flashed down and swirled around into the bowl. My birthday parties were never the same, but I guess the novelty of the sparkler would have worn off eventually.